John chapter 19, verse 30 says this. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." I want everybody to shout, "It is finished." Woo, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. What does that mean? It is finished. It's from the word tetelestia, as close as I can get it. And so I won't say that word again because I butchered it pretty bad. I practiced it, but I butchered it pretty bad. What does it mean when Jesus said it is finished? Number one, come on, this is a military town. It means this: mission accomplished. When Jesus bowed his head and gave up the ghost, he said, mission accomplished. What was his mission? Well, he came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to change the covenant. He came, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He came to preach the kingdom of God. And so when he bowed his head and said, it is finished, everybody shout, mission accomplished. Woo! And when mission is accomplished, then you can sit down at the right hand of the Father and take your rest. And that's what he did. And the other thing this word means is the ultimate sacrifice has been made. Atonement was completed perfectly, fully, and is totally accomplished. It is finished forever. So the atonement for your sins has been accomplished. Everybody say, it is finished. In other words, you can never pay for your sin, but someone greater than you paid for your sin. Now listen, when we talk about the blood of Jesus, y'all grateful for the blood of Jesus? We still sing blood songs around here. Amen. I'm so grateful for the blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I remember a number of years back, a denomination began to take all the blood songs out of their hymnal because they found it gory. But that same denomination is having a lot of trouble today because without the shedding of the blood, without the recognition of the blood, there's no reason for us to gather here. Jesus shed his blood. In the old covenant, the blood of bulls and goats were used to cover the sins of the people for a year. But how many of you know, listen to me, this is very important. Your sin, are you born again? Are you sanctified? Your blood, the blood of Jesus doesn't cover your sins. The blood of Jesus removes your sins. I've heard people say before, well, God looks at us through the blood of Jesus. That's a nice saying, but it has nothing to do with current scripture because he doesn't need to look through the blood of Jesus. You've been washed by the blood of Jesus and you're able to go into the throne room because you are saved, sanctified, and you've been made right, and the atonement is enough. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You're no longer a sinner. Are you born again? You're no longer a sinner. Yeah, but I mess up. Well, that doesn't make you a sinner. That makes you need to get the blood of Jesus to remove that. But my point is this. I heard a lot of people say, we're just all sinners saved by grace. You were a sinner. You were saved by grace. And now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let's elevate the work of the blood. Are you grateful for the blood? Atonement has been made. And then I also like this term, being a former accountant. I have a degree hanging on my wall. I like to bring up accounting things every once in a while. But what this word also literally means is it's an accounting term and it means paid in full. Oh, come on. Don't you want your car paid in full? Your house paid in full? Guess what? Your sins are paid in full. You don't got to pay for them anymore. Now, the wages of sin is death. And the people who live in and practice sin, death's going to show up. But you and I, are we born again? Has the blood changed you? Then you've been paid for. That word paid for also can say redeemed. Have you been redeemed? You've been redeemed. What does redeem mean? I've been bought back. Did you know that Adam and Eve sold us into slavery? And one of the things Jesus said when he said, it is finished, he came to purchase us. That's why the Bible says you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. What was the price? His blood. Let's elevate the blood. Amen. Number four, it's also when he said it is finished, it was a turning point, meaning the old covenant has been fulfilled and now we live in a new and a better covenant. We looked last week at when Jesus was on the cross, what he did. We looked at Isaiah 53. Are you grateful for the work of the cross? When Jesus was on the cross, Isaiah 53 says, he bore our sins, our guilt, our shame. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. Pastor Robert looked at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Jesus became poor that you could become rich. The Bible talks about in the book of Isaiah that how what would happen, and this is what happened. Jesus laid his back on a whipping post, and they took a cat of nine tails, and they beat him beyond human recognition. The Bible says his face was so marred that they couldn't tell it was a human being. He took that, and when he was on the cross, when he did that, he took every sickness and every disease from you. It is the will of God that you be healed. Just like it's the will of God that you be saved. He, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, who knew no sin. How many know he's the Lamb of God? He didn't know any sin. Yet for your sakes, he became sin. He didn't just take your sin. He became sin. So you could become something. What could you become? Righteous. Malachi 4:2 says, he got up with healing in his wings. He's not a bird. Healing in his wings. It has to do with a priestly garment. The high priest of your confession, your profession, is seated at the right hand of the Father, watching over his word to perform it. What is he performing? He's making intercession for you. And he can save you to the uttermost. You don't even have to have the residue of guilt and shame from your past. He's watching over his covenant, making sure that healing is administered to you. He's watching over his covenant, and he even receives your tithes and offerings as a high priest. And he did become poor that you could become rich. I just don't understand why people want to parse the Bible when it's all right there written. But all of this that he did for you is not available unless there's a resurrection. You know, where I came from growing up in church, all I ever heard about was the cross, except for Easter Sunday. We had sunrise. People were asking me, should we have a sunrise service? Lord, no. Hallelujah. Please, Jesus, no. I can celebrate it good at 11 as I can at 6. Every Easter. The only good thing was the breakfast they made, the biscuits and the gravy. That was it. Anyway, I digressed. I really did digress. Hallelujah. But it's important for you to understand that Easter is not the only time to celebrate the resurrection. Aren't you grateful that he did all those things on the cross, but without the resurrection. And like I was saying, in my church, thank you, Lord. In my church, you know, all I heard about was the cross. And just once a year, I heard about the resurrection. It's probably opposite in this church. You hear about the resurrection, and every once in a while, we'll look at the cross. The reason for that is, without the resurrection, the cross is almost, if there's no resurrection, what he did on the cross doesn't apply. I'm so glad. I'm so grateful for these next scriptures. Let's look at this. Acts chapter 2, 24. It says, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. In other words, it was not possible for death to hold on to him. Acts chapter 2, verse 31. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. Now we know this. Jesus was buried after he died on the cross, after he gave up the ghost. They put him in a sepulcher, and his body did not decay because it was only 3 days. And then when Jesus got up, I love this, that the napkin and everything was folded nice and neat. So we know Jesus is nice and neat. And he put it on the side there. And what do we know? We know that his body did not decay. We know because he was raised up in 3 days, right? And this is what else we know. If that's true, then we also know that his soul was not left in hell. Now, I never realized this was controversial with some people, but listen, this is what I came to the resolution of. If he didn't go to hell, then I'm going to have to. And since he went into hell, I don't have to. Some people say, well, the devil's not in hell, but that is his place of operation, and I believe he's had a tour because he's going to live there forever and ever. And then when we get done, forever again. and ever. Why? And ever. And there is no end. Forever. So Jesus went into hell. What did he do? Colossians 2:15. Having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of the devil openly, triumphing over them in it. What is it? In his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his ascension, and in putting the blood on the mercy seat and his being sat down. He made a show of the devil openly, triumphing. How many know the devil is the loser and Jesus is the victor? And because you're on his side, that means you can walk in victory as well. Well, we're grateful. Are you grateful that Jesus went into the bowels of hell and he destroyed the works of the devil? And then the Bible says on the third day he was raised from the dead. What did that do? Well, I wanted you to know that when Adam and Eve sold us into slavery, and that's what happened because they were the gods of this world, and then Satan came and tempted them. And for all those thousands of years, God did the best he could with those people until to the earth, those that he had covenant with. But until Jesus came, things were not quite the way God had intended. But I want you to know that when Jesus said, "It is finished," everything changed. When Jesus said, "It is finished," paid in full. It is finished. The old covenant has been fulfilled. Now there's a new and better one. When he said, "It is finished," and we were atoned for, and we were redeemed. "It is finished. I completed the mission that you sent me on." That death no longer has power over those of us who are born again. You've heard it said in the Word of God, "Oh, death, where is your sting?" It's swallowed up in victory. Why? Because death, let me say it this way before I get into it. There's different kinds of death. There is physical death, that when one day you're going to close your eyes and your spirit's going to leave your body and you're physically not going to be alive here on the earth. There is spiritual death, and the way we define that is separation from God. Anyone who dies physically separated from God goes to hell. There is no way to sugarcoat that. There is not a new gospel. There is not a new Bible. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. That's a period, end of story. There's no compromise on that. And those who go to hell that God did not make for people are those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, who don't accept him as Savior, who don't believe in that Jesus, the Son of God, was raised from the dead. Now, when did you become physically alive? Well, from the scripture, we see that a person becomes physically alive when they're in their mother's womb. That's scriptural definition of life, in the mother's womb. That person in the mother's womb will exist forever. So that's really not God's definition of eternal life. That's just physical life. Now, when you get born again, you receive the Zoe, the God kind of life, and you become alive. You remember in the Garden of Eden, when God, remember he spoke everything else? This is so fascinating to me. My wife says it this way, but when it came to making man, God got his hands dirty. The Bible says he formed man out of the dust of the earth. And so I don't know, after he got done forming him, if he was physically alive yet or he was. We don't know that for sure. But this is what I know. Then the Bible says God breathed the ruha, the breath of life, the Zoe, and man became a living being. And that's when eternity started for them. You understand that? But what happened? Adam and Eve lost their breath. God breathed in them the breath of life, and they were one with God. They fellowshiped with God. Right? Y'all remember that? So what happened is Adam and Eve turned everything over to the devil and they kind of lost their breath. Now listen, what I'm talking about is death no longer has a sting. And I'm not really following my notes very well, and that's okay. I want you to go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 22. Jesus, the Son of God, raised from the dead. Now he's all God. And he said unto them, he breathed on them. Everybody say, he breathed on them. And what happened? He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. What happened? Man got their breath back. Man got their breath back. Man, that's when eternal life began. And when did it begin for you? The moment you said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and I believe he is raised from the dead. What happened? Zoe, the God kind and quality of life, you are breathed, the life of God is now, maybe you didn't, you know, I'm not talking about feeling something. Well, I didn't feel nobody breathe on me. No, it's not like that, but you got your breath back. So now when you die physically, you are forever going to be with the Lord. But eternal life does not begin when a believer dies and goes to heaven. Eternal life begins when they receive Jesus. But I'm telling you, one of the things, you know, how do we get born again? Well, Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us that if we believe on the Lord Jesus and we believe that he was raised from the dead, the most important thing about your salvation is the believing in the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there's no gospel. The scripture even says that. Without the resurrection, there's no gospel. That's why we should focus on this, not just one day a week, and we don't around here. We focus on it all the time. But what I wanted to focus on, what the Lord wants you to get is not only Jesus is alive, you're alive. No, you're really alive. You know, there's a whole lot of dead people walking on the earth. I know all these new weird shows are out, but there really are walking dead people on the planet. They're dead. They're spiritually separated from God. The only real life is in Jesus Christ. And when you have that, fear of death no longer dominates you. Romans 6, 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. So death no longer has dominion. Hebrews 2, 9 says, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels, unfortunate translation. That's Elohim, it's God. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he may, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus tasted death for you. Well, you mean I'm not going to physically die? No, you're going to physically die, but you no longer are dead. You're alive forever. You can take your last breath here, but there's still, you know, that's why I tell people, be careful what you're saying before you take your last breath. You're going to finish your sentence on the other side. Because you're still alive. Amen. You know, I tell people all the time, well, God never did it. God didn't do it. God didn't. And then you go, oh, do it. And you're right in front of him. Just be careful. Revelations 1:18, Jesus said, I am alive. Forevermore. I am he that lives. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. He said, can I get an amen? Amen? That's what he said. And have the keys of hell and of death. Well, he obviously went somewhere to get those keys. But now he has the keys. What's a key? It unlocks the door. What am I telling you is, you don't have to, if you're born again, you don't have to be afraid of death. Death has no more dominion over you. Do you know why in this past few years everyone's so up in arms? Because they're afraid to die. They're afraid. They have no hope. For them, this is it. And so we shouldn't let that get on us. Because we know this ain't it. Now, you should live a long time. That's provided for you in the scripture. With long life will he satisfy you. But even if a believer, middle-aged, goes home to be with the Lord, we're going to see him in a few minutes. God time. But you don't have to be afraid. The reason people are so hard to get along with is they're afraid. Remember every time Jesus appeared, or an angel would appear, what do they always start with? Fear not. Fear not. Why do you have to say that? Because they're always afraid. Turn to your neighbor and say, fear not. Why are we talking about? We're talking about the resurrection and that you don't have to be afraid of death. And the Bible talks about also, because of everything Jesus did in the resurrection, I want you to, the Lord wants you to know what really is yours because of the resurrection, that you, that sin has been really removed from you. Why I take a big deal about it is a lot of people who think their sin is just covered, they say things like, we're just sinners saved by grace. Yes, you were a sinner. Yes, you were saved by amazing grace. But the blood of Jesus has removed you out of that category and now made you righteous. And if you elevate the blood in your life and elevate your position in life, then you'll meet it. You'll walk in it. Well, I'm just trying to be humble. Well, that's not humility. That's doing, really doing despite to the blood of Jesus. Don't identify yourself the way that religion tells you to identify yourself. There's a lot of people today, all this new identification. Well, that's nothing new. God's always asked you to identify. But he's always asked you to identify in Christ. That's your identification. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:2, for the law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Because of the resurrection, you're free from the law of sin and death. You're free from it. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offense and was raised again for our justification. And then I like this, Hebrews 10:17, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. What are we talking about? Well, you don't have to be afraid of death, but sin does not have mastery over you anymore. I love this in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I want to read this scripture and then I want to talk just a second. But if the same spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead, what are we talking about? We're talking about Easter. Romans 8, 11. We're talking about the resurrection. But if the same spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Now, this is what we know. We know in Ephesians chapter 1, the greatest display of power ever was when Jesus was raised up from the dead. When Jesus had finished his work, God the Father told the Holy Ghost, enough is enough. And so the Holy Ghost went into the bowels of hell, grabbed a hold of Jesus, and raised him up from the dead. But listen to me. If you look on in Ephesians 2:6, it says we were raised up together with him. The greatest display of power is when at one time that all of humanity who would receive were raised up together. Now, every time someone gets born again, that doesn't happen over again. They touch it by faith. Now listen, were you raised from the dead or not? Happy Resurrection Day to you. We're celebrating what Jesus did, but he wants to turn around and celebrate you're raised from the dead. Come on, you are raised from the dead. I don't think you understand. You're raised from the dead. You're no longer a dead man walking. You're raised from the dead. Now, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says it lives on the inside of you in your spirit. And it goes on. So here in Romans chapter 8, this will help you. This helps me. But if the same spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it does. He that raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Ghost, shall also quicken. That word quicken means make alive your mortal bodies. Now, there is a day when the dead in Christ shall be raised up. That's a real quickening, and that's going to be wild, and that's going to be crazy. But right now, the quickening that's happening is in you have a flesh. Do you all still have a flesh? Am I the only one in the room that has flesh? And my flesh is not always ruling. It doesn't always want to submit. But the Bible says, as we celebrate the resurrection, if you realize the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you, and what will it do? You get that life on your flesh. You get that life on your flesh. Come on, this is not dead. It's not just religion. It's not just going through the motions. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead that causes your sins to be removed is living. Come on, he's living. 1 Corinthians 3:16-19 says, you are now the temples of the Holy Ghost. God said about you and I that he would no longer live in things made by men's hand. In other words, God doesn't live in this building. He lives in you, and he don't show up in this building until you show up in this building. You are now the temple. This is the resurrection. This is what happened to you. I'm not going to live in things made by men's hands. I'm going to be to them a God, and they're going to be to me a people. Come on. And because he lives in you, because he dwells in you. Oh, I could get off. I'm going to. And as he reminds me, you know, how many of you know in the old covenant, y'all getting a whole different sermon than they did first service. In the covenant, the first service, we didn't talk about this first service. Yeah, yeah. Do y'all remember the Ark of the Covenant? What does Ark of the Covenant mean? It means gathered presence of God. And wherever the ark was, everything was okay. Do you remember it? Remember, they used the ark and they went across the sea and it went both ways. Do you remember whenever the ark was there, they would win victories? Do you remember one time the Philistines stole the ark? And they put it in with their god, Dagon, I think was his name. And remember the next day he was on his face? And then they propped him back up, and the next day he lost his arms. That's the Ark of the Covenant. That's the gathered presence of God. There is no more Ark of Covenant, except that he lives in you. Nah. God's presence, God's power hasn't changed from when he was gathered in a box made by men's hands. It was special. It was holy. It was right. I don't have time to teach on it, but all I'm saying to you is because of the resurrection power is on the inside of you. And that resurrection power is very applicable to your daily life. It can quicken. I need it to quicken. I want it to quicken my flesh. Yes, for healing for my physical body, but also just to keep, come on, you get the life of God on your flesh, and you can keep it under control. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for the resurrection. You know, in the Gospels, you see things that happened during when Jesus, remember when he gave up the ghost, it is finished. My goodness, it went from daylight to dark. An earthquake happened. I mean, it was wild. And yet in the temple, there was a temple that was made in the likeness of a real place in heaven called the Holy of Holies. And you know this scripture, you remember the Bible says the temple veil was rent in twain, King James, from top to bottom. What was that very thick veil that no man could tear? It was a barrier from the Holy of Holies to the regular folks. Only a priest could get in there once a year. But when Jesus said, it is finished, because of what he did in his body, the Bible says, the temple veil was torn from top to bottom. In other words, two big old angels or something happened. Or God took his finger and went right down the middle of it. That's pretty cool. Never thought of that before. Something happened. From top to bottom. In other words, listen to me, this is God initiated. I want them. I want my family back. I want them. And I'm going to make a way through Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, ascension. In other words, now God and man are at peace. And there's a way made in behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition. That's talking about the curtain, the Holy of Holies, between us. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him, through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So now there's access available. You don't need anybody else to do your praying. You don't need anybody else to approach the Father for you. You don't even have to go through Jesus to get to the Father. That's already been done. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holies of holy by the blood of Jesus. Again, you're not just covered by the blood. The blood of Jesus has removed you, and you have been invited. You have a card. You have a pass to get into the Holy of Holies anytime you want to. Seriously, when we get to heaven, the Old Testament saints, you know, people, I want to talk to Moses. I want to talk to Joshua. I want to, you know what? They're going to run and want to talk to you. Because they're going to ask you questions like this. What was it like for God to live on the inside of you? Are you kidding me? What was that like? And we take it so lightly. We take it so lightly. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We take it lightly that we're temples of the Holy Ghost. They're going to say, what was it like for you to have access to the Holy of Holies? Y'all, that's a real place, and you're invited to go. The throne of grace is there. You ought to go pretty regular. They were never allowed. But because of the blood of Jesus and because of the resurrection, you and I can go whenever we want. Peace has been made. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9:12, neither by blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once and for all into the holy place, and he obtained eternal redemption for us. We have peace with God. Aren't you grateful for the peace of God? You know, another reason why people are such a mess and why they're so mean. Why everybody got to be so mean? Yeah, I heard it too. Why everybody got to be so mean? Anyway, why is everybody mean? Why are they so mean in their posts and tweets and talking to people? Why is everybody so mean? It's because it's a lack of peace. When you're not at peace, you're very critical. Again, the root of that is fear. Anytime someone gets critical with the Word of God, church, it's because they've been hurt. It's because they're in fear. And in order to make themselves feel better, they criticize because they have to be right, to have a false peace. But aren't you grateful you don't have to have false peace? Jesus said, "My peace I leave you." You see, in the world, what they want, they really want calm. But until Jesus comes back, that's not going to happen. And the reason that people are more disturbed than ever is because of that thing you hold in your hands and I hold in my hands, and we keep up with everything going on. And it causes people to be and stay agitated. And you and I have to understand one of the things that Jesus did in his resurrection is for us to have peace. Now listen to me. You can have peace in the middle of turmoil. You can have peace in the middle of drama. Now this is what I know about God. He really likes him some peace. Would you all agree there's no commotion in heaven? Yeah, but when all them different denominations get there, man, it's going to be a mess. No, there is not going to be any messes. We'll probably all have to go to school and learn what we thought was right and where we were all wrong. But we might be in different. You think there's teaching in heaven? I really do, because he's the Word. And there's a lot of people who just barely make it in who don't know nothing. Don't know how nothing works. No, I'm glad they barely made it. I'm glad they made it. Anyway, so anybody watching, you don't like me, be careful. You might be in one of my classes in heaven. Praise the Lord. No, I don't know that I'd get the opportunity. I mean, you know, who knows? Peace is available for you to walk. You know what? One of the best things you can minister to somebody is get them born again, but minister peace to them. Because I'm not making light of it. Especially over the last few years. There's a lot of turmoil out there. And when someone doesn't know their future, the Bible says they have no hope. They have no hope. And when someone doesn't have a hope of a future in God, life's hard. Y'all come. I'm so grateful for everything that Jesus did in his resurrection. Remind you again, your sins are forgiven if you're born again, you're cleansed. They're not hanging over your head. And if you do sin, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus will remove every guilt, every stain. I'm so grateful. Again, Malachi 4:2 says Jesus got up with healing in his wings. Healing for your physical body is available to you. I'm so grateful that he became poor, that I could become rich. All this happened because of the cross and the resurrection. And it would not have been put into place without the resurrection. I'm so grateful that he is my peace. He's my peace. I am so grateful that I believe in him.